This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college, Mr. Bone.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
People ask me, well, how are the Sabres going to, are they going to win tonight? I don't have a clue.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
No, he did not swap out Paul Hamilton for Sean McDermott. Our Buffalo Sabres beat reporter is not going to be on the sidelines calling plays for the Buffalo Bills this Sunday, but until Sean McDermott calls the show here, which he will at some point here soon because he's in a production meeting right now. It's a big game, CBS in town. We're going to get with our Paul Hamilton. And Paul, I hope you don't mind. If Sean calls here shortly, we'll just tape away from you and then we'll come back to you. I hope that's okay with you.
Yeah, I think the head coach of the Buffalo Bills, I can handle that if he preempts me.
All right, well, I appreciate that, Paul. Paul, of course, is brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide, and by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. Well, Paul, I mean, last night, a fun third period, not so much a second period. What was the difference? Because this team was night and day from period two to period three.
Yeah, they were. They played a good first period and did what Lindy Ruff asked. You know, they got a lot of shots. He didn't like the two games before where they had 37 shots combined, 19 and 18. So, you know, he asked them to get more quality shots. What he talked about is reward the guys that are going to the net. You know, they're going to the net, reward them. And, they did that. They got more shots in the first period and some quality ones in the third. I've seen them play worse periods in the second period, but it certainly wasn't good, and they lost their lead. They had gotten behind. And then you get the goal taken off the board for goaltender interference in the third period, and you're wondering, is that going to be it? You know, is that going to be the one that takes it away from you? But they recovered, tied the game, won it in overtime, and, you know, did something that they hadn't done all year that Lindy Ruff had talked to them about all week, and that's cut the losing at one game. They hadn't done that all year. It's been two games, three games. They never just lost one, then came right back and won the next one. And they did that, and that's something that he really was stressing to them, that good teams, they lose, but when they lose, they come back and they win. And that's what he was stressing to them.
Paul, any updates on Tage Thompson or UPL? Neither of them played last night.
Well, I can tell you Thompson was limping just a little bit through the press box yesterday. Samuelson had a brace on his left knee. Luukkonen did go on the ice for the morning skate yesterday early. He went in, took shots for about 10 minutes or so, and then talked to the trainers over at the bench. Lindy Ruff said it was a good day for him, and if he doesn't start in goal on Saturday, he probably definitely will on Wednesday in Los Angeles. So he's very close. He said Thompson is doing well, but it's still day-to-day. We'll find out. Maybe we'll find out more today in practice if he'll be able to go tomorrow in Philadelphia.
And then James Reimer obviously reclaimed on waivers. I mean, it was the perfect scenario to have him back as the backup goaltender.
Well, I think everybody knew, including Kevin Adams, that they probably would get him back.
Mm-hmm.
John Gibson of the Ducks had appendix surgery. And that's why they claimed Reimer. So he went there, only played a couple of games, but Gibson is back. So you would assume with Gibson back, they would try to waive Reimer. They did. And Buffalo reclaimed him. So because they're in a goaltending bind a little bit. You've got, let's say, Luukkonen banged up. You've got Sandstrom and Rochester dealing with a concussion. So you got Michael Hauser playing in Rochester. So they're, you know, they needed the depth and goal, and they were able to reclaim Reimer. And talking to him, he really enjoyed his time in Buffalo, a short time. He said, these guys are great. I really liked being around these guys, this team and everything. And I asked him if he knew the possibility was there that the Sabres might waive him, and you know, at when the roster limits came. I goes, yeah, I knew that. He goes, I knew it was possible. But he seemed happy to be back.
What is the mechanics now? If the Sabres obviously could carry three goalies, I would imagine they don't want to do that. Does he have to be waived again to go back to Rochester?
No, no. He can go back. He doesn't have to do waivers again until if he's on the roster for 30 straight days in Buffalo. Okay. Then they would have to waive him again. So they're okay. The Ducks can't block it by claiming him. Because there wasn't the Sabres were the only team that put in a claim for him.
So you're saying they have to carry him for 30 days, then they can send him to Rochester?
They can.
They can't.
They can. What I'm saying is they would have to waive him again.
Right.
They don't have to carry him. They can now they can send him to Rochester without waiving him.
Okay, right now they can, but after 30 days they would have to waive him.
Yes.
Okay.
Right. It's a 30-day limit, and then you have to do waivers again.
Okay. Got you.
Right now he can go down. The Ducks can't reclaim him because he's not going back on waivers, and the Sabres were the only team. Had two teams claimed, then they could play the game with the Ducks. The Ducks could reclaim him, and then the Sabres could reclaim him and play all those fun games.
How did you feel that Devin Levi played last night?
All right, not great. Mm-hmm. That second goal he's got to have. He had a good look at it, but he's not playing. That's the thing. I hate to really get on him too hard, because he's not. He's hard. I mean, Lukanen played 9 to 10 games, and I thought, well, at least Levi got in for a period against Montreal, so it's kind of like back to back games. He only faced four shots, but he got in for a period. And, you know, he made some pretty good saves at times, but it's still he doesn't look, you know, like himself. Now I wonder, you know, you've got some back-to-backs coming up in California where you could play him at the end of it, the Friday, Saturday, and then the next Friday and Saturday. You got a home game against Vancouver on Friday and a road game against the Islanders on Saturday. So there are two opportunities for him to play in the NHL if you'd like. But I don't know. I'd almost, if you really want him to play in San Jose, I'd almost send him to Rochester right now, and when Lukanen's ready, is right now, and let him play maybe three games in Rochester, and then he could fly out to San Jose on his own, and he could put him in for that game if you'd like, and he'd have three games under his belt. He just doesn't look sharp right now because of inactivity.
Paul, last night, one of the coolest, you know, things to see was how the Sabres played that last 58 seconds of regulation. A delayed penalty, no goalie, just playing with the puck. How super smart on their part. I don't know if you saw the ESPN Plus broadcast. I was watching that, and they were even saying, boy, if you're the Blues, you got to attack this puck. You have to force the issue so that the Sabres have to use the power play. And as it turned out, they scored with little time left on the power play. That was a big deal.
Yeah. I totally get what, they're right. A 4-on-3, you would rather have 2 minutes of 4-on-3. And they knew right away. That's what I liked about Lindy Ruff. He had communicated to the players what he wanted. They went into kind of a four corners.
Yeah.
You know, so he had communicated what he wanted there. The only question I had is you could have had a two minute and 58 second power play. Mike Heim texted me, and he's one of the minor officials, and said the delayed penalty went up with 58 seconds left in regulation. So if you take those 58 seconds as a 6-on-5, you know, you've pulled your goaltender, so you've got a power play of 6-on-5. You can run 58 seconds of that, and then, you know, 2 minutes of power play in overtime. Now, if St. Louis touches the puck, you're not going to get the full 58 seconds. But theoretically, you could have had 2 minutes and 58 seconds of power play time. But I get that you want a 4-on-3. There are less people up on the ice. There's less congestion. And so that's the way they wanted to do it. I'm just kind of throwing both sides of it.
I get it. But I would also say, if you do that and you score before regulation is out, St. Louis can still score.
Yeah, so they could score to tie.
Right.
Yeah.
So you take it to the end, because if they touch it, they can't score, and then you just have that. But no doubt, I mean, and it almost was a kill for St. Louis, and they almost did it. But it was a good job by the Sabres, no doubt about that.
Yeah, no, I totally get what they were doing, and I'm not criticizing it at all. I'm just kind of offering the other side.
Let me ask you this. Do teams, and maybe you know this from Lindy, maybe you've asked this to him. I know that from a fan perspective, you're like, okay, Western Conference team, doesn't matter. Go to overtime and be aggressive. Do they play differently in overtime if it's a Western Conference team versus an Eastern Conference team, do you think, in general?
They shouldn't. They haven't been in all that many overtimes with Lindy. They shouldn't. I mean, you go for the extra point, and that's the thing that really killed them last year. If you remember, they were one of the worst teams in the National Hockey League at getting loser points. So it didn't put them into the playoff conversation because they were so far behind in loser points. So even no matter who you're playing, get your point. Get it to overtime. Get your point. And then let's find out if you can, get the extra point in the overtime session. Now, you know, the last couple, you did it against Calgary and you did it against St. Louis, where they couldn't care less if they get a point. Fine, take your point and go home. We just want to get the second point in overtime, and they did in both cases, winning in a shootout and winning in overtime. So I don't think they play drastically different. They tend to want puck possession and go for it in overtime. I don't really see them sitting back or like just taking the puck and making, you know, taking it easy. There were a couple times in the Calgary overtime where Tage Thompson, I thought, rushed a couple of shots from bad angles, which, yeah, I know it's a possibility you can go in, but when you want possession, you're basically giving up possession by doing that, because the goaltender makes a fairly easy save, gives it to his defenseman, and now they have possession. And it worked out. I mean, they wound up winning in the shootout. But I just thought to myself, that's the difference. You don't want to take a shot from anywhere because you are giving up possession of the puck if it's an easy save for the goaltender.
8-8-1 now for the Buffalo Sabres. They do head out west. First, it's a game at Philadelphia against the Flyers, an Eastern Conference team they're battling with in the standings right now. And then it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 straight Western Conference teams, including out west at the Kings, at the Ducks, at the Sharks. They come back. They have the Wild and the Canucks, Western Conference teams at home. By the way, Paul, I will be at the San Jose Sharks game in California next Saturday night.
Really?
Yes. So here's the deal. I was teasing it earlier. So every year during the Bills bye week, I look at the schedule, and that's kind of my time to take off. I can't really take off because I'm covering the Bills and calling the games, obviously. So when the Bills have a bye, take a look at the schedule and say, okay, where does that fall? What can we do for a vacation? My wife, Yana, my son, Max. And this year I happen to see the week the Bills are off, the Sabres are in San Jose taking on the Sharks. So we are flying out to San Francisco next Thursday, going to Alcatraz on Friday, San Jose against the Sharks and Sabres on Saturday, and then doing Napa on Sunday.
Very cool. Yeah, too bad the Giants weren't playing. You could have done the hockey game in one day and gone seen the Giants on another day. But we almost went to the World Series. We were in San Jose, and the Giants were hosting a World Series game, and we had access to tickets. But I just had work to do, you know. WGR doesn't pay me to go to the World Series and sit here. They do. They actually do pay me to go to practice and write an article and report on practice as much as I wanted to go to the World Series. I just had stuff to do. But, yeah, so I missed out on a chance to go to the World Series in San Francisco.
You've been to the games there. By the way, what's crazy is, so that night, it's a 5 p.m. Pacific game next Saturday in San Jose. And that night, they're honoring Joe Thornton, retiring his number, actually, against the Sabres.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. That's pretty cool. So, I like those types of things. And San Jose used to be such a great arena as far as fans go when they were good.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been there really since they have played poorly. So I'm not sure exactly what kind of fan support you're going to run into there. Although they're playing better, I will say that this year. They used to be a zoo in there. They had consecutive sellouts for a long time, and it was a cool place to watch a game.
And I'm looking at the Warriors. We were looking at them too, but they're going to be gone. They're away, so they won't be at home. Have you ever been to Alcatraz?
I have not.
Oh, man. I went a few years ago. The Bills played the Raiders. Doug Marrone would go out west a day early when they played West Coast teams. Sean McDermott doesn't do that. Rex didn't do that. The Bills played the Raiders, so I had a kind of an extra day. We flew out on a Friday. Myself and an employee of the Bills at the time said, hey, let's do Alcatraz. So we go, and I didn't realize you had to buy tickets online. But luckily, we get in line, and the woman says, no, we hold walk-up tickets, so you're all good. Get on the ferry. You take a ferry over there. Paul, amazing. It was incredible. I recommend it to anybody. Now, there's two different types. There's a day tour and a night tour. We did the day tour. We're going to do the night tour coming up with my 10-year-old son. It's going to be awesome and freaky.
Yes, that would be awesome and freaky. And it's something I'd like to do if I ever get back out there. But it's just something I never was able to do. The other thing you talk about having get tickets, it was funny. I went to a Tampa Bay Rays game when the Sabres were in Tampa in April. And I'm looking for the box office. I'm walking around the place. I can't find it. Finally, somebody says, there is no box office. You got to put the MLB app on your phone.
That's right.
And that's the only way to buy tickets now.
That's right. It's crazy.
I go, yeah, but I'm old.
Oh, my God.
Wait a minute. I want a box office.
That's exactly right. Yeah, I know. We went to the see Justin Timberlake a few. By the way, it's called the MLB Ballpark app. It's actually it's different than the actual MLB app, right?
Yes,
we went
to
see Justin Timberlake, believe it or not, paper tickets. I had paper tickets for Justin Timberlake. Somebody's like, you got to save those and frame them. Like, who has paper tickets? You know, Paul, we all did this when we were kids. Like, they rip it off. You got the red or the orange or the blue at the old odd, and you're saving your ticket stubs. I miss those days, man. I get it, but I miss it.
I still have a bunch of ticket stubs. Honestly, now if it's a show I like, I take a screenshot off my phone and email it to myself, and I print it. So I have the actual ticket that I can put in my collection if it's a show like when I go to see McCartney. You know, I wanted that ticket, and it's on my phone. So that's how I was able to reproduce it and put it in my collection.
Hey, real quick, speaking of the Rays, did you see that the Tampa Bay Rays, because of the damage done to their stadium in the last hurricane, they're going to play next year, their entire season, at the Yankees spring training facility?
Yeah, I saw that. That's only
Steinbrenner Field.
What, 15,000 people can get in there? It's not like they get a lot of big.
Right.
I mean, the game I went to wasn't really well attended, so I really don't know what their normal attendance is. But it's kind of like when the Blue Jays played a couple of years here in Buffalo. The most they would have been able to put in the building was, 19, 20,000 people? But it worked out just fine. Well, the first year, people couldn't come, you know, because it was COVID. And the second year, people could come. It was kind of neat. I never thought I was going to see the New York Yankees play the Toronto Blue Jays in Buffalo for a regular season game in my lifetime, or the Boston Red Sox, or even the Marlins. I saw them. So it was kind of neat to be able to see Major League Baseball in Buffalo.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
For a couple of years.
Paul, have a great weekend. We'll be following, of course, at PHAM1717 at WGR550.com as well. Thanks for coming on today. And we didn't have to preempt you for the Bills head coach. He hasn't called yet. He will in a moment.
And have fun and don't get locked in any of those jail cells.
I know, right? That would be a pretty big fear. I appreciate it, buddy. Thank you.
Take care.
All right, that is Paul Hamilton. And, of course, on the Wester Hotline, as always, Paul's reports. Brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide. And by Relax Honda, relax, we got this. All right, so just waiting on Sean McDermott to call here very shortly. We think that's going to happen before the next break, which is coming up a little before 11:30. Then we'll get to Patrick Hammer on the other side. I'll ask him about weather this Sunday. I think we're looking pretty good. And tailgating-wise, there's going to be a lot of tailgating going on because this is a 4:25 p.m. game. You have the whole CBS crew coming to Buffalo, the studio show. So it's going to be a nice long Sunday for you, all right? And then, while you're tailgating, you got a big AFC game going on. It's going to be Ravens at Steelers. And then after the game, another big AFC game going on. Bengals at Chargers. That's your Sunday night football game. I have a Twitter poll. I posted it at Extra Point WGR, but I reposted it at Sal Sports if you want to go there and check it out. We have exactly 1,200 votes right now. Vote in the poll. What are the best-case results for the Bills in these two games? You could choose Ravens and Bengals winning, Ravens and Chargers, Steelers and Bengals, or Steelers and Chargers. It is overwhelming right now. Steelers and Chargers, 64% of you. A little bit of a split between Ravens, Chargers, and Steelers, Bengals, which is interesting. The one that is not what you want, Ravens, Bengals, 5.6. I know it's a little bit confusing. Let's walk through this. There are arguments to be made for both these teams. Let's take the first game, Ravens, Steelers. People are talking about seeding, right? What do you want to happen with the seeding? And you're talking about who could miss the playoffs. Because with the Ravens, I totally understand if you think, I don't want the Ravens as the 7 seed. If the Bills are the 2, you don't want to play the Ravens. I get it. I'm with you on that. I also want to point out, though, if the Ravens lose this game, they drop to 7-4. And they're right kind of on the cut line of the 7-8 seed. Now, looks like 8 right now, you'd still have some breathing room because 8 is 4-6, which is Indianapolis. But let's say Cincinnati wins, and they go to 5-6. I mean, those two teams still got to play each other. So, could it be possible you knock the Ravens out? Probably not. So if the Ravens lose, you're probably looking at them as a very dangerous 7 or 6 seed. If the Ravens win, they're on your heels for the 2 seed because they beat you. And if the Bills happen to drop it, the Ravens will be the 2 seed, the Bills will be the 3 seed. You also don't want that because 2 and 3 matters, folks. Now, it's not the end-all be-all. But the difference between the 2 seed and the 3 seed is easy. If those two teams wind up meeting each other in the playoffs, it's who's at home. That's the difference. I can get, if you think, hey, let Pittsburgh keep winning, let them be the team that's in the 3 seed, that's fine. Then Pittsburgh could come to Buffalo or Buffalo to Pittsburgh, depending on which seed the Bills get. I totally understand that, but you got to get by the first round, and that then would look like either a Baltimore or a Chargers or a Bengals. Chargers and Bengals play on Sunday night. Chargers 6-3, currently in the 6 seed. Bengals 4-6 in the 9 seed. I mean, if the Bengals lose this game, they're getting buried down there. They are really in danger of not making it. You have a team like Miami who could wind up passing them if they win. Even the Jets. The Colts are the team that's kind of interesting here because they're 4-6. They're turning back to Anthony Richardson. Their season still has life. I mean, their season still has life even for the division, actually, to be quite honest with you. They're 2 games out from Houston. Now, they've already played Houston twice and lost to them, so they have to overtake them. But Houston doesn't look like a great team right now. So Indy has some life here, and they're turning back to Anthony Richardson. Jets fans still think they have some life. Dolphins fans still think they have some life. I think the Dolphins have more than the Jets. Because with a healthy Tua and the way they've looked the last 2 weeks, I was impressed with the way they played in Buffalo. Dolphins came here. I was impressed with how they played the Bills. The Bills ultimately pulled that game out. But then they go to the Rams, they beat them too. So there's a lot that could be decided or at least leaned on this week. Speaking of being leaned on and leaned into, Chiefs fans are totally leaning into this whole referee thing that's going on and all the conspiracy theories that people talk about. And I mean, so much so where I posted referee stats on this game. And it's not the first time. I did it for the Dolphins game. I don't always do it. But sometimes people are wondering, hey, who's the ref? I'll find out who the ref is early in the week. I'll post the stats. How often do they call penalties as compared to the average? And I'll also give you maybe a record on each team when that particular referee and their crew is calling the game. So I posted that earlier this week. And boy, I had Chiefs fans quote tweeting me, replying me, oh, Bills fans already crying. Dude, there was no commentary on it. I'm just letting you know. But what I have seen from Chiefs fans and from even media and podcasters and people like that this week is they're basically leaning into the whole conspiracy thing. There are some replies from people saying, hey, make sure that ref got our check. Yeah, we paid him off again. Like, yeah, making fun of how people go that far, right? With the Chiefs and the referees and the officials. There was a podcast done the other day that I watched, a respectable podcast on the Chiefs. The title of it was Bills versus the Refs. That's a Chiefs podcast. Like, that's what they did. So, yeah. All right, we're going to take another timeout. We will get Patrick Hammer on at some point, hopefully, to talk about the weather. But we got to wait for Sean McDermott here. He's wrapping up a CBS, I believe, production meeting. I know that's there's a production meeting going on. So we'll keep it here. We'll get the Bills head coach on. I promise you, we'll get you your injury update on a Buffalo Football Friday here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Keep it right here. Sal Capaccio with you on a Buffalo Football Friday brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash? Call Salino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way.
Coach Sean McDermott's appearance on WGR is being brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. By Kaleida Health, the official healthcare provider of the Buffalo Bills. By Dunn Tire, official tire dealer of the Buffalo Bills. And by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop at northtownkia.com.
Welcome back to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you on a Buffalo Football Friday. Let's get out to the Western Hotline. Bills head coach Sean McDermott joins me for his weekly radio appearance. Good morning, Coach. Hope you're doing well on this fantastic Friday.
I am, Sal, and I appreciate you having me on. I want to quickly, if I could, wish my dad a happy birthday.
Happy birthday. All right, absolutely. That's awesome. Appreciate that for sure. And I know you've talked about your dad and you know how much of an influence he was on you in football and in life, so that's very cool. And how much, I know he's a football coach, how much does he give you some advice on what's happening on Sundays or throughout the week?
He's always there for me, both my mom, dad, and brother, in fact, and they're very supportive, but he'll give me a reminder here and there. Of course, like any mom or dad would, right? And just supporting. Parents are always parents, and I very much appreciate their support.
Well, happy birthday to Mr. McDermott. Okay, Sean, we know that Keon Coleman will not play in this game. As we get to our Barnes Firm injury report, brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Injured? For help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. Anybody else we know will not play in this game on Sunday for the Buffalo Bills.
Right, so Dalton Kincaid will be out for this game, and then Matt Milano, as we already discussed earlier in the week, will not play. Spencer and Amari will be questionable for the game and limited today at practice.
Anything concerning long-term with Dalton Kincaid at this point?
Long-term's kind of a loose kind of
right
term, but we think we'll just take it one week at a time and just see. I mean, Nate's going to continue to update me as we go through the week here.
Okay, and then Spencer, how do you think he's progressed throughout the week? He hasn't practiced, so for you to leave the window open obviously is a little bit encouraging.
Right, so we'll know a little bit more today. We're just going to take it one day at a time and see how he does today and then go from there.
All right, Coach, Matt Milano back on the practice field. Obviously a great sight for Bills fans to see him running around out there. I'm sure it was for you and your staff and just for Matt. You talked about his journey, how resilient he's been. How do you think he came through the walkthrough and then the practice yesterday?
Well, he did well. I'm sure he felt, great to be back out there with his teammates and, getting a sweat in and all those types of things. He's, like I said, it's been a long journey for him and just fun to watch him out there, be back out there and enjoying himself playing the game he loves.
Sean, you had another Player of the Week honor this year, this week. It was a fifth Player of the Week award for somebody on the Buffalo Bills. Taron Johnson, Defensive Player of the Week. Now, I've said, this is the way I say it, I think Taron Johnson's as good as what he does in the NFL as anybody is at what they do in the NFL. Can you just kind of speak to how dialed in this guy is at his job and his technique and what he brings to your football team?
I mean, how could you argue that, right? I mean, otherwise, in terms of he's so valuable to our team, to watch his growth over the years, people try and game plan for him. That's kind of the way it's been evolving, and that, to me, is a sign of respect.
No doubt. And then you have another Johnson, obviously, Austin Johnson, who had another interception last week. He's got two on the season. A guy like that, being in position to make those plays, it can't just be luck, right? It can't just be happenstance. I mean, there's got to be more that goes into a guy like that being in position on the D-line to make those plays.
Well, he takes his preparation seriously, and his ability to sniff out some of those throws, sniff out some of those screens, you know, he's got a great feel for that, and to catch those.
Yeah.
You know, most of the time, a defensive lineman is playing defensive line for a reason. One reason is usually he doesn't have great hands, right? But you know, Austin did a great job and made two big plays for us.
And isn't that also speak to when that happens, you can point to, that's why you do a takeaway circuit every week, right? Where literally yesterday I was showing video, he actually caught, Austin this is, had a one-handed grab as they were just throwing balls to the defensive lineman. That's great to show people this is why we do those things, isn't it?
Well, it is. You love as a coach, I know there's a lot of coaches out there, you love it as when a coach, when what you practice, you see in the game and it pays off. So I think it just helps the buy-in from the players and everything. So understanding why we practice the way we do and what we practice. So, yeah, the fundamentals, I mean, you see it every week, right? Fundamentals are winning and deciding games.
All right, Sean, the Kansas City Chiefs this week, obviously a team you're very familiar with. No, they're not in the division, but you almost have to approach it like a division game sometimes because you guys have met up so much. I mean, is there any secrets anymore between these two sides, I guess? Or, I mean, how familiar are you with this team? This is not like a team you see once every 8 years.
Yeah, I mean, we've, you know, like you said, I think it's been, what, seven or so games since that 2017 meeting. So it's a lot in a small window of time since 2020, I believe it's been. Mm-hmm. So you know, a lot of respect for them, and certainly they've won quite a few championships, and you know, we're looking forward to the opportunity this weekend. It should be a good game and a good matchup.
A big key this weekend will be third downs, obviously both ways, but especially this is a team, Kansas City, I mean, they're over 50% on third downs 10 weeks into the year, which is pretty amazing. How important will it be to get them off the field on third down this week?
It's huge. It'll be huge because of, you know, they're number one, as you mentioned, in some of those categories. They're number one in time of possession in the NFL, and that's a critical piece in order to win a game, is to make sure we can win as many of those third downs as possible. They're extremely just high level in that window in particular, but also in everything else they do.
And then your team is number one in takeaways this year, Sean. I mean, what goes into that? What goes into being ball hawks, being aggressive, the peanut punch? You see everybody doing that now, but you guys have really taken advantage of, you know, getting to the football and rallying to the football and getting those takeaways this year.
Well, like you mentioned, we emphasize it. Usually if you're emphasizing something, you got a chance to get it, or the best chance to get it. If you're not emphasizing it, don't expect to get it. So, in this case, we emphasize that the coaches, led by Coach Babish and the defensive staff, do a great job. The players buy into it, and it's just kind of become something that you know, we take a lot of pride in.
And then, of course, Bills Mafia out in full force on Sunday. It is a national game. You know that. You've been doing production meetings. CBS is bringing their entire crew here. You're no stranger to big games. You guys have been in it, but how important and valuable can Bills Mafia be in this particular matchup at home on Sunday, a week before the team has off?
Well, they're huge, and anywhere and everywhere we play. What a great deal for the city of Buffalo and Bills fans. You know, that CBS bringing their show here to be in the parking lot. I just think it's an awesome opportunity to showcase all of Buffalo and what we're all about here.
Coach, thanks a lot for joining us. Happy birthday to your dad. I've met him and talked to him a few times, as you know, over the years. He's fantastic, and we wish him a great weekend, and best of luck to you and your team this weekend as well.
All right, very much appreciated, Sal. Have a great weekend.
All right, you too. That is Bills head coach Sean McDermott. We know now that Dalton Kincaid will not play. We know that Keon Coleman will not play. We know Matt Milano won't play. He's coming back. He will be. That's more of on the encouraging side, but the Bills will be without their tight end and one of their starting outside receivers, if you want to call Keon Coleman that, I do. And the Kansas City Chiefs will be without their kicker, Harrison Butker. He's going to go on IR. Do you want to take a break and then have Pat on? You want to do it that way? All right, we'll take a break. Then we'll get to Patrick Hammer. We'll let you digest everything here. We'll come back. We'll get with Pat Hammer, WGRZ TV2 Chief Meteorologist. That way we have a little more time to spend with him before we get to the final break of the show here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Break it down.
When you need to know what to wear, is it going to rain? Is it going to snow? What to prepare for? You're about to find out. Here's Sal Capaccio with your game day forecast with Channel 2 weatherman extraordinaire. Here's Patrick.
Have a time.
WGRZ TV2 Chief Meteorologist Patrick Hammer joins me on the West Her Hotline right now. Pat, thanks a lot for holding through Bills head coach Sean McDermott. We had to change things up a little bit this morning.
And happy birthday to Mr. McDermott Sr. That's kind of cool to hear. Apparently, he talks to his dad before every game.
Oh, yeah.
John Scott did a story on McDermott. He talked about that. That's kind of cool.
It's Rich McDermott's his name, and you'll see him at training camp sometimes. You'll see him at games sometimes. I see him down on the sidelines. Fantastic person, former football coach. I'm sure that he's got a few things he wants to, you know, go over with. I don't know if they watch film together, but as Sean said, of course, they had a lot of support right there. Yeah, so happy birthday to him. Thank you for waiting here, and obviously we have a big game on tap Sunday at 4:25 p.m. You know what that means? Lots of early and a long tailgate. And then the game at 4:25 p.m. when the sun starts to go down a little bit, what does all that mean for our weather Sunday?
So Sunday is looking, it's not going to be picture perfect in terms of clear skies, but I think the weather could not be more ideal for a, let's call it a mid-November game. We're going to see clouds increasing on Sunday. So if you see the clouds thickening up and it begins to look like it does outside right now, don't worry, it's not going to rain. We're going to see rain roll in late Sunday night, but well after the game. Temperatures very comfortable in the 50s, I would say, most of the day, kicking off at about 52, and then we're in the upper 40s through the end of the game, and wind not an issue. Initially, it looked like there could be a breeze. There might be a little bit of a breeze, 10 to 15 miles an hour at most, but generally a really nice afternoon and evening for football. And let's just say this, luckily this game isn't occurring 10 years ago to the date, because November 17th, 10 years ago, was the start of Snowvember, where the stadium, what did they get, 6 feet of snow?
Yeah.
Not going to be the case this year.
That was the original game that was moved, that was into Detroit against the Jets. That was Rex Ryan's Jets against Doug Marrone's Bills. I remember that. It was my first year on the Bills sidelines, actually, on the Bills radio network and the broadcast. Thanks for reminding us of that. But it also brings into, you know, just a question about this year and how well it's gone. And I want to knock on wood or something, because holy cow, we've really had good weather for Bills home games this year.
I mean, thinking about the last 2 years, how impactful. And if you recall, it was the game 2 years ago after the Vikings game, which was that debacle at home, which is what the next weekend was the huge November storm we got 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, we had the Christmas blizzard. I mean, just the last 2 years, last year more with the playoffs, have had impactful weather affecting the Bills. And that has not been the case so far this season. Of course, we do have more home games deeper into the season to think about, but so far so good.
All right, well, so the Bills have a couple of dome games in December. They go to L.A., they go to Detroit. But before that, Thanksgiving weekend, they play at home on a Sunday night. I get that it's, you know, 14 days, it's 2 weeks out. I get it. What are the trends and patterns right now showing, though, about early December maybe?
Yeah, so right now the trends are, it's been a very quiet and mild fall. Next week, after what's going to be a relatively quiet weekend, the first signs of kind of a weather pattern change, it looks like it's going to get rainy on Thursday. The week of Thanksgiving, though, is really up in the air. The trend is for colder, which is not shocking, but I do believe that snow chances possibly will ramp up the week of Thanksgiving. It's not a lock. There's a lot of variability in some of the stuff we look at. But as we get closer to that 49ers game, something we got to pay attention to that Sunday Monday. Is it Sunday night or Monday night?
It's a Sunday night game. It's a Sunday night game, December 1st. Yeah. It's a late Thanksgiving this year, by the way. It's like as late as you can go.
Yeah, very late Thanksgiving.
What about next week? The Bills are off. You could tell me, I'm going on vacation, my family is, for next week, but what about here in Buffalo next week, Western New York, as the Bills are off, people getting some things done and don't have the pressure of, having to be around for a Bills game and hopefully a win and feeling good about it after this week?
My wife even has it in her calendar. I get my Sunday back. So, that's going to be the case for the bye week. As I said, it's going to rain on Thursday, and then be behind that system for next week. It may get cooler, and we may possibly see a few flakes of snow. By the way, if we don't get snow by next Friday, that will be the latest in the season we've ever gone to receive our first flake of snow in Buffalo. That's the 22nd of November. If we don't get snow that day, that'll be the latest start. So the trend is more wet than white next week, but possibly next weekend and into the week leading into Thanksgiving, it may get a little more wintry around here.
All right, I am headed out west next week. It's the Bills bye week, and it just so happened, look at the schedule. Oh, the Sabres are in San Jose. I would like to get away. Now, granted, I know that the temperature in San Fran, you can let me know about this, in that area of the country, isn't the warmest necessarily, but nice place to go. Let's go to the Sharks game. We're going to go to Alcatraz on Friday night. Going to hit Napa on Sunday while the other NFL games are going on. What's it going to be like for me and the fam?
Okay, so I did take a look. Right now, it looks dry to start the weekend. There may be some rain rolling in on Sunday. That's something we're watching. Just a couple of little tidbits for you. Go to Napa, fine. Check out Sonoma. Sonoma Valley is just as good, but less crowded and more quaint, in my opinion. You're going to Alcatraz. You're going at night. I grew up looking at Alcatraz from my bedroom every single night growing up as a kid.
That's terrifying. That's how you stay straight as a kid.
Do you know how I fell asleep? It was the lighthouse on Alcatraz would go into my room, and it would reflect off my wall.
That's amazing.
There, and every 30 seconds, I would see a little flash of light on my wall, and that was the lighthouse on Alcatraz.
Wow.
Going there during the day is spooky enough, right? But you're going at night, which, I mean, you get out of that experience. That's off to you.
It should be pretty good, though. So I know that's an area of the country, that area specifically, San Fran, San Jose. They kind of have the same kind of temperature year-round. Not the exact same, but it doesn't get too hot, doesn't get too cold, right?
No, I mean, San Francisco, I think its coldest time of the year is actually like July, believe it or not. The summer gets very cold there because of the fog.
Mm-hmm.
San Jose and San Francisco are pretty different, though. San Jose can get a lot warmer in the summer and actually a little colder in the winter. But yeah, it doesn't have the variability like we have here, just because it's on the Pacific Ocean, and the Pacific Ocean is kind of a stable temperature, and that just kind of keeps everything kind of even keel. So rarely do you get really big swings in temperature there.
All right. No, go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. We only have about a minute and a half, so I wanted to ask you before you do go, are you going to watch the fight tonight, and are you rooting for either Jake Paul or Mike Tyson?
Okay, I don't know. I'm kind of rooting for Tyson. I don't know. I like his story. This Jake Paul, I don't know a lot about this, but just some of the clips that I'm seeing and some of the things on social media, I don't know. He's just kind of got a little bit of an arrogance that, I don't know.
I am totally rooting for Mike Tyson. I mean, come on. This is a childhood guy we all watched, and you're like, this is the one for the old guys, right? Come on, let's go. I'm 51. I'm playing out here playing flag football, and I'm like, let's go, Mike Tyson. Go knock this dude out.
When I saw Mike Tyson in the movie The Hangover, I mean, I jumped out of the chair and was so rooting for him because it was a part of my growing up childhood, and he was funny. He had great comedic timing, and it was, I don't know, I just kind of re-fell in love with him. I am rooting for Tyson tonight.
That's going to be on Netflix, by the way, so it's free. If you have Netflix, you can watch it for free, but Jake Paul versus Mike Tyson, and I'm totally rooting for Mike Tyson. I want to see that happen. Hey, Pat, have a great weekend, and then into next week. I don't think we'll be talking next week. I'll be gone, so we won't, but unless these guys want to have you on, unless Josh and Zach want to have you on, they're more than welcome.
There will be a void in my life if I don't speak to you. I may call you in San Francisco anyway.
You can do that, because I know you're familiar with the area. I might give you a call, pal. Have a great weekend, buddy.
All right, take care.
All right, that is Pat Hammer, and we're looking at good weather for the Bills and the Chiefs on Sunday. Yeah, I'm rooting for Tyson tonight. You rooting? Are you? You're younger than me. Are you a Jake Paul guy because you want the young guy here?
No, not at all.
Okay.
I hate Jake Paul. I hate all those like YouTube stars. It was the start of the end of YouTube. When him and his brother have been doing all the stuff they do on YouTube.
Don't tell me it's the end of YouTube. I'm building my YouTube.
It's not the end of YouTube. But
for you, it was just what it kind of ruined it a little
bit,
right?
I don't know. It was just like a trend at the time. So
hey, thanks a lot for joining us today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Friday. Once again, as always, brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash? Call Salino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Stubbs. Start your game day the Crosby's way. We'll talk to you again next week, a little bit here or there. Then I'll be going. And then, of course, Sunday, Bills Chiefs pregame at 9 a.m. Up next, Sabres Live.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.